Good morning, everyone. This is the recorded morning service for Trinity Sunday, the 30th of May, from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this Trinity Sunday. We gather in the name of God, Creator of the universe, source of true humanity, parent of us all. We gather in the name of Jesus, Word made flesh, Saviour of fallen humanity, lover of all. We gather in the name of the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, midwife of new humanity, inspirer of all. Come then, eternal God, be present here, befriend us here, renew us here. Our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Lord of the morning, Lord of the sunrise, we come in praise for our moments of refreshment, for your recreation again and again of your world and of our lives, for all things new that amaze and excite us, for times of revelation when we stand in awe of you, for the Spirit dancing in our hearts and minds. We thank you, loving God. Lord of the daytime, Lord of our working, we come in praise for the gifts that you give us, for our calling and sending into the world and into fellowship with you, for gifts and talents that inspire and challenge us, for skills that we find when we listen to your voice, for the Spirit that calls us to service and love. We thank you, loving God. Lord of the evening, Lord of our resting, we come in praise for the space that you give us, for reflection and prayer for your world in your name, for times of silence and listening that renew our faith, for enjoyment and laughter in the company of your people, for the Spirit that sings in joy and quietness. We thank you, loving God. Lord of the night time, Lord of the darkness, we come in praise for your presence in our pain, for doubts and uncertainties that strengthen our faithfulness, for your presence in our weakness and sadness, for your healing in our sickness, for your love that overcomes all things, for the Spirit that plants seeds of love in our hearts. We thank you, loving God. We confess, Father, our need to be made new by your Spirit, for we have been concerned with our own selfish desires that we have failed to notice the concerns of others. We have been too involved with trivial things that we have lost our hope and trust in you who can transform us and make us new. We confess our need to know again your purifying love, which causes us to rejoice in the knowledge that by your word of forgiveness we are made whole. Forgive us, Father. Three in one God, three things we ask of you, that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly day by day. May we see you more clearly in the world around us, in the needs of our neighbours, in the social and political events of history. May we love you more dearly in the delights of worship and devotion, in the challenge of service, in the enthusiasm with which we tell people about you. May we follow you more nearly into the places where people are struggling for justice, into the wilderness of people's grief and pain, into the situations where peace is absent. Three in one God, strengthen and sustain us as we seek to be your people this and every day. Amen. And we join in the Lord's Prayer in its more modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Today I'd like to set you a little memory challenge. So here is my first question. Can you remember what you ate for breakfast this morning? That wasn't too tricky, was it? How about this question? Can you remember what you got up to last weekend? Maybe that was a bit more tricky for you. I'll go further back. Can you remember how you celebrated your last big birthday? Now, for the adults, that's one where your new age ended with a zero. So, for example, 30 years old or 50 or 70. And for the children, hey, when you're a child, every birthday is a big birthday. Memory is a funny thing. We definitely find it easier to remember special times than ordinary times, which is why you might have a very clear memory of your last big birthday, but you might not remember what you did last weekend. And some parts of our life, especially our childhoods, seem to give us very strong memories that never fade. Let me give you an example. I'm a massive football fan, and I have watched the cup final every single year since I was about 9 years old. But here's the thing. If you offered me £1,000, I couldn't tell you from memory who played in last year's cup final. However, I can tell you from memory that I watched the 1975 final between West Ham and Fulham at my dad's house, sitting on the sofa, and I can even tell you about the massive tray of crisps and snacks that he brought in just as the game was about to start. And that was 46 years ago. I'm sure that many of you have got clear memories of being a young child. You might be able to talk me through your first day at school. You might be able to tell me lots about your first real friend. Some people claim they can remember so far back that they can remember sitting in their high chair or being bounced on their mum's knee. But can any of you honestly say you can remember being born? I think the simple answer is no, because our brains aren't really formed in a proper way by then, and memory doesn't work that way. So we can't remember the moment that we were born. But Jesus said something strange about being born. He said that we need to be born a second time in order to see the kingdom of God. What did he mean by this? Well, he meant that when we choose to follow him, we leave our old life behind and we start a new one guided by the Holy Spirit. And lots of people can certainly remember the day, the hour, even the moment when they decided to take a deep breath and commit themselves to being a Christian. The day when they were born again, to use Jesus's term. For some of them, this meant very dramatically stopping doing things that were wrong. For others, it meant more of a quiet change in direction, trying every day to think of other people before themselves, as Jesus instructed. But for everyone who wholeheartedly decides to say yes to Jesus, things will never be the same again, because Jesus promised that all who follow him will have life, true life, life in all its fullness.
Our second hymn. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place.
Come. reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit's power we cry out to God, Abba, Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
A reading from John 3, verses 1 to 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Joseph lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Our experience of God is a marvellous and mysterious experience. It is like looking at the picture of the black candlestick, and then you realise it's a silhouette of two faces. And yet again, it's a candlestick. There is more than one reality. And so it is with God. We have and we know the God of Isaiah, the God who is high and lifted up in his temple, the God who speaks and brings forth all of creation, the God who is judge, Lord, ruler, king, the God who is in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. This God is strange to us. This God is beyond us. This God we dare not touch, even though we know this God and he knows us, even though we see this God's signs all around us in the earth, the wind, the air and the fire. And then we have the God who is in Christ, the God who is Christ, the God who is lowly and humble, the God who reaches out and touches others, the God who serves others, the God who walks the earth with us and cries and laughs with us, the God who calls God Abba, Father, Daddy, the God who is tempted with us, the God who hungers and thirsts with us, the God who embraces us and encourages us, the God who surrenders himself to death for us, having only the promise and the hope of being raised again. And we have and know God the Spirit, God the bringer of visions and of dreams, God the source of strength and of hope, God the supplier of healing words and of comfort-filling prayer, God the wind, the breath, the air we breathe, God the transformer, the one who gives new birth, new life, God the presence within us and the presence all around us, God calling to us, calling for us, calling through us, calling in us. We are the children of God, says Paul. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. As a Christian, I do not know all there is to know about God. God is always greater than my knowledge of him. But I do know what God has shown about himself. I do know God in three different ways. I know him in three ways, I experience him in three ways, I love him in three ways. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, tries to describe part of this experience, this threefold knowing, this threefold loving, in his description of a Christian at prayer. What I mean is this, he writes. An ordinary, simple Christian kneels down to say their prayers. They are trying to get in touch with God. But if they are a Christian, they know that what is prompting them to pray is also God, God, so to speak, inside them. But they also know that all real knowledge of God comes through Christ, the man who was God, that Christ is standing beside them, helping them to pray, praying for them. You see what is happening? God is the thing to which they are praying, the goal they are trying to reach. God is also the thing inside them which is pushing them on, the motive prayer. God is also the road or bridge along which they are being pushed to that goal. The whole threefold life of the three personal being is actually going on in that ordinary act of prayer. What can be missing from so many lives is a sense of the mystery of God and of the mystery of the life that God gives to us. Our God is a mystery, and the life that our God gives to us is a mystery. But because God within that mystery touches us, it is a mystery that we can experience and savour and know something of. It is something that theologians and ordinary Christians have tried to put into words, and the words themselves have gained the importance rather than what the words have tried to describe. In using pictures and images, our experience of God has been circumscribed rather than invigorated. The mystery has been constrained, confined, and codified. So instead of trying to interpret the words and analyse the theory, let me give you another image. On a gorgeous May weekend, a group of very learned theologians gathered at St. Mary's University, Twickenham. Sunlight danced over the waters of the Thames by Ham House, not far from their meeting place. But these scholars were too engrossed in their God talk to be mindful of it. The Trinity. They had come together to discuss the Trinity. Was it really biblical? After all, that word is not found anywhere in Scripture. A learned man from Harvard Divinity School reminded his colleagues that it was Pope John XXII who ordered the celebration of Trinity Sunday beginning in 1334. Another scholar from Oxford, not to be outdone in erudite knowledge, pointed out that St. Ambrose had written a hymn to the Trinity in the year 397. A local theologian from St. Mary's Institute of Theology and Liberal Arts quoted St. Augustine. When it is asked, what are the three, human speech is in difficulties through its great poverty. We say three persons not because we have found the right word, but because silence is worse. And what year was that? Someone asked, pen poised to take it all down. 430, the Twickenham professor announced proudly. Meanwhile, like any good mother, God had already been up and about for hours. In fact, she had crossed the sea in huge, joyous strides, both arms aloft as she grasped the dawn and pulled it with her across the sky. This morning her billowing skirt trailed pale greys and muted pinks, so lusciously interwoven as to break the heart of anyone who might be out on the river to greet this new day and its bringer. Like any good and mindful father, God gathered the warmth of this spring morning in generous armfuls and carried it down through the streets to the city of his children. At Pennywade House in Richmond, the clients still asleep in their sleeping bags stirred and smiled, unaware that the warmth that blew in through open windows and brushed across their faces was the touch of someone who loved them with a perfect love. The theologians at St. Mary's were debating the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. When Jesus told the disciples to go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, were these truly the words of Jesus, or had they been added by a later editor? Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit took wing and rode the wind in blissful abandon, joining a flock of parakeets, all of them screeching their joy in being alive. If the theologians had paused their God talk for just the space of a breath, perhaps they would have heard the voice of the Spirit in those cries. Spirit became wind and blew her way lazily to the southeast, circling every home between Richmond and Sutton with her doting breeze, nudging the scent of lilac and honeysuckle into bedroom windows and kitchen doors open to the new day. Whenever she caught the scent of sadness or suffering in one of these homes, Spirit lingered. With the exquisite attentiveness of a lover, Spirit paused to hold each one close and closer still. In a stuffy meeting room in Twickenham, a scholar of early church history went on and on about the Trinity as three hypostases but one essence. Those who weren't nodding off nodded wisely. Meanwhile, Jesus was seen in scruffy blue jeans sitting on the concrete steps by the South Bank Centre. He was listening with the perfect mindfulness of a kindred soul as the drunk beside him sobbed. "I don't even know what happened," he said. "When I woke up in the alley, she was still beside me, but she was gone." He stayed with the man for hours, just listening to stories about his girlfriend, listening to the pain in the man's soul, listening and quietly loving him to a small place of peace. Later, you could have caught a glimpse of him, of Jesus playing it with some children, waiting for a bus at East Croydon station, or cheering the Crystal Palace youth team as they pressed for the decisive goal at Sellers Park. At the cafe in Sutton train station, he sat at the counter for almost an hour while the server showed him photos of her grandchildren between serving the other customers. At the close of that particular May Day, 18 theology students headed to their hotel rooms, mildly dissatisfied with their day, but hopeful about the day to come. Meanwhile, the persons of the Godhead, the Holy in One, God in community, the Blessed Trinity, gathered around the biggest table available at Twickenham's White Swan overlooking the river. They scoffed pizza and shared their adventures of the day. Around each of them were stacks of note cards falling over, sometimes tumbling into the pizza plates. While they talked and laughed together, they wrote notes. Each note was uniquely personal, but all were in this vein. They said, "Of all the places in the vast universe that I could have been today, today I was with you. Today I blew across your brow. Today I walked with you. Today I laughed and played and cried with you. Today my mind was full of you. Today I was mindful of you. Today I loved you as if you were perfectly beautiful, because you are. Tonight I'll sit by while you sleep, and tomorrow I'll fill my mind and my day with you again. They signed every card with a different name, chuckling at humanity's attempt to name or describe them at all. They took to reading the signatures aloud to each other, and laughing so heartily that other diners caught the spirit and laughed for the sheer joy of hearing them. When they were finally done, love gathered them all. Millions upon millions of love notes. She became wind again and threw them to the night sky. One of these love notes has your name on it. Be mindful today. Watch. Pay attention. You don't want to miss it when your love letter falls out of the sky. Thanks be to God. Now next hymn. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea.
Eternal God, your love's tremendous glory cascades through life in overflowing grace, to tell creation's meaning in the story of love, evolving love from time and space. Eternal Son of God, uniquely precious, in you deserted, scorned, and crucified. God's love has fathomed sin and death's deep darkness, and flawed humanity is glorified. Eternal Spirit, with us like a mother, embracing us in love serene and pure. You nurture strength to follow Christ our brother, as full-grown children, confident and sure. Love's Trinity, self-perfect, self-sustaining, love which commands, enables, and obeys. You give yourself in boundless joy, creating one vast increasing harmony of praise. Ask you now, complete your image in us, this love of yours, a source and guide and goal. May love in us seek love and serve love's purpose, till we ascend with Christ and find love.
Our prayers of intercession for today, Trinity Sunday. Father God, creator of this world, the universe and everything, we acknowledge your almighty power and acknowledge our need for you in every part of our lives. at this time of widening recognition that humanity's selfish enjoyment of the resources you have provided is changing not just our world's weather patterns, but the ability of many to survive, please help us to know what you want us to do. We read of ships now safely passing through what had been a subcontinent of ice, and the continued melting of unimaginable areas of ice elsewhere, and we recognise the terrifying implications for hundreds of millions of people who live at or near sea level. Please help us to know what you want us to do in our own lives. Father God, you're always at work, always with us, calling, guiding, speaking and responding when we make ourselves truly open to you. We're humbled to remember that you love everyone, no matter who they are or what they've done, each of us having a place in your purpose, if only they and we will listen. Son of God, your love is for all, for you lived and died for others, reaching out to both rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, righteous and unrighteous. Nobody outside your care, nobody outside your grace. You gave your all, endured death on the cross for us, so that everyone willing to receive you may share in the joy of your kingdom. So we pray for all in the world today who long for love. The many who've experienced loneliness and hardship in growing up. The many who've experienced abusive relationships in personal life and in work. Those whose experiences of rejection have shaped their whole outlook and lives. May they discover in you a love that will never let them go. Show us, we ask, how to reach out to them as you did during your time on earth. In faith, we lift them before you. Spirit of God, your peace is for all, for you long to be welcomed into every heart, striving to break down the barriers which keep us from one another and ourselves from you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us in how we should respond to the needs we see around us in our world, recognizing that no individual is called to respond to everything, but that if each of us responds as you guide us, you do extraordinary things, even miracles. And so we pray for those suffering from COVID anywhere, and those who have responsibility to provide care and support, particularly where they're completely overwhelmed and lack the means to do so. We also pray for those torn by anxiety, doubt, guilt, and fear, and families and communities separated by feuds and division. In faith, we lift them all before you, asking you to guide us in what you call us to do. And so, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you, aware that this is your precious world, not our own, and that you long to shape it, if we will be obedient by your will. We ask you to remake us and it, and to renew it through your sovereign power. May all people everywhere come to know your purpose, experience your love, and receive your peace, that we may each rejoice in the new life you so yearn to give us all. In faith, we lift them and ourselves before you. Amen.
Our final hymn. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us, O the world's tempestuous sea. Go in peace and love, and care for one another in the name of Christ Jesus. And may indeed the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and for evermore. Amen.